Good evening, everyone. Good to see you all here tonight. Before I start focusing on this passage and guide you through that tonight, a couple of things I'd like to acknowledge. I really feel encouraged tonight, and maybe that's because I'm full of vitamin D as I spent the whole afternoon in the sun and day on the bowls with candlelight. But I think it might also be a couple of other things that I've just noted in this service tonight. So some new faces I haven't seen. Wonderful to have you here tonight as well, worshiping with us. Seeing Esther for the first time on stage, I think, with the band. I don't think she's sang with us before, has she? First time tonight? Wonderful. Thank you, Esther. And also Lydia's family is all the way moved from Nigeria to Australia, so they're the first time here they tonight as well. So it's just wonderful to have you guys with us as well. And Adele came up twice to do things as well. So I was thinking I should just pass the sermon to her and she could do that as well. Just wonderful to have so many people involved. So thank you for that. As we go to this passage tonight, this is praying for us for God's guidance. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we focus on your word tonight, and as we end this series on this great and wonderful book, I pray you'll guide our thoughts and our hearts so that we might find true joy in you. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we've been going through this letter written by Paul, the Apostle Paul, to the congregation in Philippi. And he mentioned a number of things. And the one thing he came back to every so often was that we respond to God in joy, which is our theme for the series as well. That we find true joy in God and in serving Him, in Christ. And that is not the same as happiness. So I want to just talk about that tonight again, because Paul's going to address that once again too. Happiness and joy. Being a happy person. Are you a happy person? Are you always a happy person? No. I try to be, and so often I make jokes, and very often they're time wrong, but I try and find happiness in life. But as soon as you find yourself to be happy, something happens, and the smile turns into a frown or a tear. And it happens so often in life. I think we can all relate to this, and Paul could relate to this as well. When he writes this, he says the next thing. I'm not saying this because I am in need, he says, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. And he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Paul experienced both sides of life, what it means to be blessed and have a smile on his face, being happy, but he also knew what it was to struggle. And yet, he says in this passage that he found contentment, that God guided him so that he could learn the secret of what it means to be content. And to truly be content is also to have this joy that he is speaking about in the whole book within us. Now you have to remember when Paul writes this. So for those who haven't been here in the whole series, Paul is in jail. He's about to face one of the horrible Caesars back then called Nero, who killed hundreds if not thousands of Christians just for the sake of killing them in the most horrible ways. And so Paul is about to appear before this person, knowing that he might very well get the death sentence. And he's in jail, which wasn't a very easy place to be. He had this ankle bracelet on, which actually consists of another person being chained to your ankle. And so he had that the whole time, which he had to struggle with. It was cold. He wasn't fed properly. He wasn't cared for properly. He suffered. Wasn't a great time for him. Yet, he's saying, in those circumstances, that he has learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Being happy. I came across this Chinese proverb about happiness. And this is what it says. If you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. Don't do that in the service though. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a month, get married. That's quite harsh, I thought. Should last longer than that, but anyway. If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help others. Now there's some truth in this, and Paul actually come back to this as well. But I think what I picked up in this proverb most of all is the fact that happiness is temporary. Happiness doesn't last. Happiness depends on your circumstances. While Paul is saying that he was content no matter the circumstances he faces. And there's a secret in that. And Paul's saying that he learned the secret. It didn't happen overnight. Someone didn't tell him the secret and then he knew what it was. He had to go all these things and grew in this, as we too need to grow in understanding how to deal with struggles and how to be content in our lives and our circumstances. Now this is not always easy. As soon as things go well, very often they also fall apart. So how can you be content? How can you truly have joy no matter the circumstances in your life? Paul says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Now, I'm going to just share with you five thoughts tonight that I picked up in what Paul is saying and what we can learn from him as he understood the secret, and we might also start to understand some of it. Now, the five things you might not remember, but I'll mention them and I'll repeat them as we go on. But even if you just remember one or two, it might make a difference in your life too. Paul says, first of all, that we should never compare our lives to the lives of others. He talks about change and how we should accept change in our lives. He talks about going through all those struggles and things that we suffer through in God's strength, how we need to depend on God, and how we also need to focus on others. Now, don't think that you need to remember those five just yet, but I'll just talk to each of them briefly tonight. The first thing Paul says is that we should not compare our lives to others. This is the first thing. If you want to be disappointed with your life and be discontent and dissatisfied with what you have in life, then compare your life to the life of others the whole time. That's the secret of being discontent. It's not easy keeping up with the Joneses next door. If you're looking for a look at others, there will always be others who have more than you have. More things, more money, better health, better happiness, or more happiness perhaps. More respect and a glory, if you like. You'll never be satisfied if you keep on comparing yourself to those around you. See, if Paul was comparing his life to those around him, he would have happily traded with almost anyone that he knew. And yet he says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. And actually, in the original it says a bit more clearly that he says, I have learned to be content in these circumstances, in my circumstances, the circumstances that he finds himself in. And so therefore he's saying that we should never compare our lives to others. He was content in his circumstances. See, we need to understand that the life that we have is unique to us. You are the only person suffering through the things that you might be suffering through. Or the only person who has the relationships that you have. The only person who's facing life the way you have. The only person who's been gifted with the gifts that you have. And no one else is the same as you are. And therefore no one else's life can be the same as yours. Paul does refer to something though in Philippians 2 when he says, if you want to compare your life to someone else and be like someone else, then the only person you can do that with is Christ himself. So if you want to change who you are, become more Christ-like. But do not compare your life today to the life of anyone else, because that will only make you worry and stress more, and you'll always be dissatisfied. Paul also says, and this is the second point, that we need to accept change in our lives. See, this is one truth that we face every single day. The fact that life changes. Everything changes in this world we are living in. Seasons change. Every day changes. Yesterday is certainly not the same as today, and I can promise you that tomorrow will not be the same as today either. Every single day is different. And as we go through life, we change as well. How often do we not feel 10 years that younger than our bodies are? And that's when you break bones and sprain legs and things because you just think that you're much younger than you are. But we age, we change. And we need to accept those kind of things. If we resist change in our lives, you'll never be content with who you are and what you are facing. Paul says, once again, this verse, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. See, often in life, things might change for the better. And that's great. And we embrace that and we thank God for blessing us. But sometimes in life, things change for the worse. And it could happen in a moment. In one moment, we might be happy, and the next moment, the apple cart's turned over. Someone close to us might pass away, and we need to struggle through that. Or as we heard in the prayer tonight, which is happening with a number of people in our church, you might lose your job. And you struggle. And the one moment you're happy, the next moment you're facing all these struggles in life and you're going through that change of your circumstances. And Paul says he has learned the secret to be content even if that happens in life as well. No matter what the circumstances are, whether good or bad, he has learned the secret. And part of that secret he mentions next, because we cannot go through any of these changes without the help of God. If we try and do these things in our own strength, we will always fail. And therefore Paul says clearly in verse 13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. What a great secret to hear tonight and to understand. See, it's not easy to go through life. It's not easy to face any of these struggles. It's certainly not easy to be content in any and every circumstance. And I think most of you would know this as well. Most of you would be able to relate to this, saying that, yes, I have struggled in life before. And if you haven't, then you will at some stage. It happens to us all. But when we struggle, we have this promise that Paul's saying as well, this secret he has learned that we can face anything in the strength of God. God will give us the strength if we depend on him. Paul says this in another letter as well to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, he says that when I'm weak, I'm strong. And what Paul's saying is, when I acknowledge that I cannot go through this myself, when I acknowledge how much I depend on God, need to depend on him and use his strength, that is when I receive what I need from God to go through my struggles. We need to depend on God more. And that's the next point I think we understand as well. We need to trust God more in our lives. We pick this up in the whole letter that Paul is writing. I think most people in life go through this search or this void of wanting something to trust in and depend on. And very often when we don't have that, we seek that in all sorts of places. Some people find that in being social, in other people, being amongst other people, fill that need for them. But then again, when you're alone, you don't have that. So it could never fulfill you truly. In the full sense of the word. Others might turn to substances. We have a horrible disease in Australia of people being dependent on substances like alcohol and ice, which is a growing concern. And I think a lot of these people, without diminishing this problem, because it's much bigger than just these words, but I think a lot of these people find some sort of happiness for a moment, and think that they can trust in this substance just for that moment. But pretty soon that wears off, and they find themselves in need of something to depend on again. And I think true contentment and true joy we only find if we truly depend and trust in God. This is what Paul says in chapter 1, verse 21, such a great verse. Paul says, for him he says, to me to live is Christ. That's the thing that he depends on. That's the thing that his whole life centers around. It's all about Jesus for him. And because it's all about Jesus, he has this fulfillment that is carrying him through all circumstances. And he's content no matter what is happening because he's trusting in Christ alone, no matter what he is facing. When you have that sort of contentment and that sort of joy, it changes who you are and it changes how you act towards others around you. And that's the last part. I think if we have true joy and true contentment, we actually have a changed life towards those around us too. Now remember that Chinese proverb, and it says, if you want happiness for a lifetime, help others. And I think Paul understood a bit of that, because he understood that it's not just that, but if you have Christ, if you have him as your cornerstone, then that fills your life and you are content. And that makes you act different towards others, so that you are then caring for those around you. Verse 17, Paul says, not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. So he has this guy sitting in jail, facing the death sentence, and he's worried about the well-being of a different congregation out there who's free to worship and serve. He's worried about their physical well-being. He's worried about their spiritual well-being. He's concerned with their situation in life, because he is content with what he is facing. Now, isn't that amazing that if you are so content in Christ that you're able to focus on the needs of others? The same Paul, Luke tells us about this in the book of Acts. In Acts 20, Paul recalls the words of Christ, which are, it's better to give than to receive. Well-known words. And I think all of us have experienced this in our lives, perhaps before. And it's certainly the case at Christmas. Now, there's nothing wrong with receiving Christmas gifts. It's actually quite pleasant, and I enjoy that part too, and it makes you happy when you receive things. But doesn't it just thrill you when you give something to someone else and it makes a difference to their lives and they appreciate it? And you can see how much they are enjoying or appreciative of what you are giving to them. That certainly is more fulfilling than it is to receive gifts. We can also relate to this at the moment a bit in our household, because we are preparing to go back to South Africa in like 3 weeks. And we're all getting excited. And the more excited we become, the more we buy stuff to take with us to hand out as presents to those we love. And I think pretty soon our suitcases will be full and we won't be able to take any clothes. As soon as we see things, we think, oh, I need to buy this because it'll be so good for this person or that person. And why we are doing that is because we are thinking about the joy that that will bring to them. And that will just be such a blessing for us to see that in their faces. Paul's saying, when I am content in Christ, when I'm full of joy, no matter my circumstances, that is when I can start to think about how I can bless those around me. And that certainly changes the way that I look at life. We live in a world and a culture that kind of teaches us that if you want to be happy, you need more money and more possessions or more power, more prestige, a better job, or you need to have less difficulties and that'll make you happy. Paul's saying it doesn't. What truly makes you happy is having Christ in your life. That really fills you. It's all about Jesus. It's about following Jesus. And it's about becoming more Christ-like in our lives. So don't compare your life to those of others around you. Accept change that we all face. Struggle through your struggles in the strength of Christ. Learn to trust and depend on Him and place Him first. And focus on others before yourself. If you do any of these, I think we'll all grow and understand the secret of contentment a bit better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this great letter once again. Oh Lord, what a person Paul was to understand the secret, to be in jail and still be focused on this letter of encouraging others, of helping others understand how we all can have this true joy in our lives and be content no matter the circumstances. It was Paul's only desire to introduce Christ to all. And this is our desire as well, Lord, as we go into this Christmas season, that it'll all be about Christ. And our lives will center more and more around Jesus. So we pray, Lord, that You'll teach us this secret and help us grow and learn the secret in our lives as well. Not to compare our lives to others, to accept change, to find Your strength, to trust in You, and also to place others before ourselves. What a joy You bring to us, Lord, if we are able to be more like You. And I do pray in this Christmas season that we will be able to grow in this too, and that this letter that we've looked at over the last many weeks, that we will think back on the things we have heard, and that it will give us some guidance to how we can also change our lives and respond to You in joy. Father God, this whole year we've focused on You, and we've looked upwards. And we have acknowledged over and over again that You matter. That You are a great and awesome God. And that we are privileged to worship You. Blessed to worship You. We pray that You help us to be a light and a salt in this world. And that we will share this joy that we have with all those around us. I pray, Lord, that You hear this prayer and that You'll continue to bless us. In Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, let me invite the band to come up again.